Folks, today we have a special episode with a distinguished guest, Marcia Reynolds. A global authority in leadership and coaching, renowned for transforming difficult conversations into breakthrough moments, with a rich background spanning 43 countries and impacting over 100,000 individuals, she has empowered organizations like Duke Clinical Research, Medtronic, and Harvard Kennedy School. Her expertise, showcased in best-selling books and featured in prestigious publications, embodies a lifelong commitment to sparking transformational change in people and organizations. And as we prepare to delve into our conversation on the topic at hand, conversations that transform, mastering the art of leadership and coaching across cultures. Here's an exciting twist. Let us tickle her brain first. So, Marcia, get ready for a rapid-fire round of random words. Mm-hmm. I'll mention a few. Would love to hear the first thing that comes to your mind in response without thinking much. Shall we do it?
Okay. I'll be as fast as I can.
Okay, here comes my first word. Curiosity.
Openness.
Invention.
Innovation.
Past.
Gone.
Future.
Unknown.
Communication.
Connection.
Book.
A lot of work.
The last one is coaching.
Powerful.
Amazing. Thank you so much for participating in the first rapid fire round. And before I welcome you, I would like to welcome the audience. So folks, welcome to the Guiding Voice podcast series, where we embark on transformative conversations for a better future. I'm your host, Navin Samala, dedicated to making the world a better place through valuable discussions that add value not only to your life, but also to your career. And thank you so much for tuning in. Marcia, hearty welcome to the Guiding Voice. It's almost like a dream come true for me. Having you on my show is a great honor. Hearty welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
All right, Marcia, let's get started with your success mantra. Please share with our audience the top three things that have attributed or contributed to your success so far.
Well, actually, early on, it was the belief that others had in me. You know, when I was younger, I don't think I believed in myself at all. And that people kept saying, but you have these gifts, you need to share them. So the first initial launch was the support from others. And then it was because I'm willing to take risks. Every company I've worked for, I didn't know what they did. I didn't understand. I went from healthcare to high tech. I had never touched a computer in my life. This was in the 80s, but it's like, I will learn. So the mantra of, I don't know, I will learn, always kept me going forward. You know, but then the third thing was to recognize that it's not the soft skills and the hard skills, they're mixed up. You know, we say the soft skills are people skills. No, those are the hard skills. You know, learning your how you do your things, that's easier than how we are together. And the impact that we make when we have good communications and we listen to each other is the most powerful thing we can do in an organization.
I love your statement, the impact that we are going to make when we have communication. I think communication is going to bridge the gap between anyone and everyone, literally.
Right.
A powerful message. So, Marcia, you have helped leaders and coaches around the world master the art of powerful conversations. So, can you share a transformative moment that summarizes the power of effective communication in changing an organization's or an individual's trajectory?
You know, there's been a lot of different types of conversations, like I would say pre-coaching and post-coaching. Coaching. But before I even found coaching, when I was still working in my last company, it was a semiconductor organization. And so I was really trying to help people connect, communicate to, you know, team alignment, all that kind of stuff. And what I found that in the moments that people would really listen, so like even my boss, instead of telling me what to do, I was one day complaining about other people and they just don't work hard enough. You know, I'm working really hard. You know, it's the typical high achiever mantra, right? I work harder than everybody else. You should tell them what to do. And he says to me, wow, it sounds like everybody disappoints you. And I was taken aback and I'm like, is that true? And then he says, will anyone ever be good enough for you? And I remember that because I found coaching soon after. And I said, that's what he did. He stopped and he held up what I was doing, and that my sense that there was a disappointment. Mm-hmm. And I had to look at all my relationships in my life and look at, was I holding other people to too high of standards, including mm-hmm. myself?
Mm-hmm.
And then when he said, will anyone ever be good enough for you? It's like, oh, I'm not really looking at people and seeing them for who they are. So taking that conversation, it was soon after that I found coaching. I said, that's what makes the difference. If we can really see each other and acknowledge what we're saying, what we're feeling, and then ask a question that might be meaningful, that's more important than, let me tell you what to do based on my experience. So I think that was a pivotal moment that led me to really embracing the idea of coaching when it first came to me.
Amazing. I am really enthralled. Like, I think this is a great story, and probably that might have triggered your journey towards coaching, and I think that might have had a profound influence on your journey forward. Great to hear that. And Marcia, like, I was surprised you have worked in 43 countries, and you must have encountered diverse communication styles and challenges. Mm-hmm. So out of these 43 countries, one thing what I'm really curious is, what are some universal principles of communication that you have found, and how do you adapt your strategies to also fit different cultural contexts?
Yeah. You know, the first thing is to don't assume you understand or you know the person in front of you. You know, the first time I went to work in our factories in Taiwan to work with the leaders there, I was taking this gentleman to the airport and he said, so have you prepared, you know, how you're going to be with those people? And I said, no, I think I'll just go be curious and listen to them and engage and see what they need. He said to me, you're so stupid. You know, you're a woman and you're going to Asia and they're going to treat you poorly and you don't know them. You don't know how to acknowledge the elders and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, when I got to Taiwan, I realized he was talking about Japan, not Taiwan. They saw me as a manager. Didn't matter my gender. They called me Mr. Reynolds regardless, you know, and I had full respect. And in the room, there wasn't a, oh, let's hear from the elders. They were so competitive that they were on top of each other all the time. And I had to manage the energy in the room. And that's when I learned, do not stereotype people. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Even a big country in the U.S., the West and the East Coast are different. The Midwest and the Pacific Northwest were different people, different cultures. In China, you know, Shanghai and Beijing are different, right? You know, in India, it's a big country. People are different. Do not assume you know. Yeah. Go into every conversation with, I really don't know you. Help me know who you are and how you think.
So key takeaways are, do not assume you know, and second thing is, don't go by stereotypical mentality. Awesome.
Everybody's changing. And you know, it's disrespectful.
Yeah.
Really. To me, to pretend that I think I know you is a disrespectful.
Wonderful. So Marcia, again, let's talk about another important aspect, which is emotional intelligence. So it is mm-hmm. very crucial in leadership as yeah. well as coaching. So based on your experience, how does this mm-hmm. enhancing emotional intelligence impact yeah. the dynamics within the teams as well as organizations? And
yeah.
what are some practical steps leaders can take to improve their emotional intelligence?
Yeah, I think emotional intelligence is a foundational skill for leadership, for coaching, for, you know, for parents. That, you know, emotions occur before we think. So emotions, we make decisions based on emotions, and then we justify our decisions with our logic. And the first step you should always take if you're starting this is just to recognize anytime I have a point of tension in my body, and even judgment, I will have a You know, and if I can quickly notice that my stomach tensed up, my breathing stopped, my shoulders are tight, and breathe and release it, you know, that's the first step, because that allows me to think more freely and not say something stupid, you know, because I will react emotionally. And then I think, well, they deserved my anger, or, you know, they need to really listen to what I do, when it's just that I'm impatient or I'm unsure. So first, recognize tension, breathe into it, and then choose, quickly choose. How do you want to feel? The root of the word intelligence is choice between. It means choose your emotional state. And leaders set the emotional tone. So do you want to feel curious? Do you want to feel compassion? Do you want to feel courageous? Let me open it up and not know, not be the leader who knows everything. It takes courage. Choose your emotional state, and what you say will be different. This is so critical for teams as well as leaders, that when I'm with different people and we process information differently, that I remember to come into the conversation choosing my emotions. My intent is to connect, and I want to be curious and care. You know, choose that before you go into the conversation, and keep choosing it every time you have tension. Breathe and remember, I'm here to connect and be curious and care. It makes such a difference.
I'm sure it is like, I think I'm going to follow this for sure. This is such a powerful, powerful tip. And now let's talk about your book, The Discomfort Zone, how leaders turn difficult conversations into breakthroughs. So it touches on leveraging discomfort for growth. So can you explain to our audience and me why discomfort is often the gateway to breakthroughs, and how leaders can navigate these conversations more effectively?
Yeah. You know, leaders always think they're supposed to make people feel confident and they don't go to asking the difficult question, like the example I gave you of my leader. And it's not that they don't want to make the person uncomfortable. They're afraid of being uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah.
If I'm direct, I don't feel good about that. I'm scared. But the thing is, if I already know things, and you tell me what to do, it's either going to confirm what I know, or you'll just pacify my brain. But if I even ask you the question, like you come to me with a problem and I say, wow, that's a huge problem, you know, I can't wait to see what you'll do. Then you're like, oh my God, I have to go do something. You know, so what happens is when I make you even slightly uncomfortable, your brain opens up, you know, that too. And when I don't know the answer, my brain doesn't like to not know, you know, it wants to know. And all of a sudden you see, I don't know the answer, you know, so what led you to assuming, that everyone feels this way, to ask that question. I don't know what led me to, you know, if it makes me stop and think, there's going to be a little discomfort because the brain doesn't like to stop and think, but that means that I'm opening up to seeing things differently. So we shouldn't be afraid of making each other uncomfortable with our reflections and our questions, not our attacks. Like, you did this wrong. Why did you do that? You know, but, you know, so help me understand what thinking you had to make the decision you made. Just ask that, you know, and that's so important, you know, or what would make this important to you to change? Let me help you achieve your goals, you know. Would you be open to looking at a different way of doing this? That's what I'm mean with discomfort. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have no words to express that. Seriously, I think these are all real great inputs and are going to work in a practical environment for sure. And I'm able to relate to certain situations where I could have done better as a leader.
Yeah. Well, you know, the more you say that, the more you know you're growing now. It's because I see what I could do differently. I must be growing. Yeah. So it's okay. And in the discomfort zone in the book, you know, there's two chapters of case studies. of like, here's what happened and here's, you know, what the leader did or should do in order to achieve a better result. So I encourage people to look at the case studies to help them plan for their own conversations.
Absolutely. So for those of you who are watching or listening to this episode, you'll find all of Marcia's books in the show notes or the episode description. And I strongly urge you to buy one and read. Not just buying, but you have to read. Because reading and implementing is one of the things what many, very less people do, right? Many of us buy books and just put it in the shelf. That is not what I recommend. All right. So, Marcia, again, let's talk about the semiconductor industry stint. You played a pivotal role in turning around around this company, which was facing bankruptcy. So what were the key communication strategies you implemented to foster cross-functional collaboration? And how can these strategies be applied in today's fast-paced business environment?
Well, actually, you know what happened? The company I was with before taught me what not to do. So I was with them in a company that actually it was right when we were shifting to smart technology in the 80s. And they were the leaders in the world of dumb terminals attached to mainframes. The top leader, it was an ITT company. But because it was functional departments where they didn't get along with the other departments, which is common. There was always competition and you don't do the right thing and you don't care. And you know, that they were struggling making the transition to the smart technology. Well, we got sold to Alcatel and then they sold us to five Harvard MBAs that said we must make decisions cross-functionally, put us all in a room and said, make decisions. Well, we hated each other. And I want to say I left before the company went bankrupt. They went bankrupt 2 years later from top leader in the world to 5 years bankrupt. So when I went to work in the semiconductor, they were like, we're just starting. We're not doing well. We have to change everything or we're going to have to close our doors. So do whatever you want. But they redesigned the company into cross-functional business units. And I recognized that immediately we had to really teach how do we listen to each other? How do we truly respect each other so we can collaborate? How do we catch emotional intelligence when you say something and I immediately like go, oh, that's stupid, you know, and to look at our biases. So like, you know, the biggest problem was the engineers were like, so rude to the factory workers, you know? And I'm like, do you know those factory workers probably know process better than you because they do it every day, you know? So what about their knowledge can you respect? So listening and respect and really showing people, I hear you, I see you, I hear you, I understand you. So that, you know, was better than like team building, rah, rah, rah. We play a game together and then we forget tomorrow, you know, but truly how to connect and see, hear, and value what each other says. That was the key things. And 3 years later, we went public and we were the top revenue producing IPO in the United States. So very proud of the cultural change. They did great in changing the product and the processes, and I managed the cultural change, and it was a huge success.
That's amazing. Now let's talk about your role as a former global president of the ICF, International Coaching Federation, and as a recognized figure in the global coaching community. So what shifts are you observing in the coaching industry worldwide, and how is coaching evolving to meet the needs of a global audience?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When we started the ICF, we decided it would be global, but we didn't know how. And it's amazing. There's like over 50,000 members of the International Coach Federation and many, many thousands more people who call themselves a coach. You know, and there's another big organization in Europe. Honestly, it's the whole thing, because as soon as coaching got popular, then so many people called themselves a coach, and all they were doing was really mentoring, giving advice, and not really looking at coaching as we do. But I look at you, Naveen, and you're a smart person. I don't need to tell you what to do. I just need you to help you think through your situation so you see that maybe you're narrowly looking at it one way, but maybe there's other ways to see your situation, or you're avoiding a difficult conversation and, you know, and giving all the reasons why you're not going to have it today when it's just that you're uncomfortable with what could happen when it could be a great result, you know? So people need to really, like companies, they really need to identify that if they're going to work with coaches internally as well, they need to be well-trained. You know, and to recognize that a well-trained coach knows what they're doing and they're most effective. So the trends of people calling themselves a coach are going to be all over the place. You know, I know how to do this, especially leaders that retire and become a coach. You know, they're just mentors. They're just going to tell you what to do. You know, but the question, and I know it's coming up about, will AI replace coaching?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, people are so unpredictable, uncertain, and the human connection, the bond, the energetic bond that I cannot even put words to, that's not going to be replaced by AI. You know, problem solving, absolutely. AI will be good at that. Simple things, a quick answer, but not the deep understanding of how my own brain is stopping me from seeing what else I could do and who else I can be in this conversation. Because I find in coaching with leaders, that so much of it is, who am I in this moment? Am I the expert or the leader? Mm-hmm. Am I the newbie who knows something, or the person that has a lot of experience that I can share? Who I am? And that's going to be a little harder to replicate with AI.
It makes sense. And let's talk about the personal transformation aspect. So you describe yourself as a lifelong learner and wanderer. It is clearly visible through your profile and the kind of interactions that you have had, and having worked in 43 different countries, and I'm sure you might have accumulated wealth of wisdom. So how have your personal experiences of learning and wandering shaped your professional philosophy and approach to coaching and leadership?
Yeah. Well, I think too, as many people, when I was younger and working, I was a know-it-all. You know, I wanted people to know what I knew, especially being a woman in the last 11 years in tech companies. At my level, I was often the only woman in the room. So I thought I had to prove what I knew, you know, and I think it was the CEO of Microsoft who said, don't be a know-it-all, be a learn-it-all. You know, and I think that was the biggest thing, and coaching really opened me to that. I don't know. I don't know you. I'm not going to make an assumption. Let's learn together. You know, and so the openness to always be learning, you know, and to even in my last company, as I was leaving and really understanding to, when I would have people come in and say, tell me what to do, I'd say, can we, you know, you have a different perspective than I might have. Can we first look at it, at the problem together before I tell you something to do and it may not work? What have you been thinking about? Because I find most people, it's not that they don't know what to do. They're afraid to do what they know. And so if I first say, well, what have you been thinking about? What options have you considered? Let's look at those first. And then go into the conversation. So to move from a know-it-all to a learn-it-all, that was, I think, the biggest thing for me.
I think that would be the billboard question, in case if I have triggered the rapid fire round. I'm sure you might put it, learn it all rather than know it all.
Right.
Amazing. And here comes my last question for today. And what advice would you give to someone aspiring to make a significant impact in the fields of coaching or leadership, based on the lessons you have learned from your global experience as well as success stories?
You know, again, I work with a lot of multinational companies, so people in the room are from different countries. And the whole thing from coaching is, what are you listening for? And how are you noticing what's going on with the people in the room? You know, I remember I was teaching a leadership class for Maersk, you know, the shipping company. And there were people from many countries, but most of them were Danish. And these two guys in the back of the room were talking in Danish. And I said, would you talk in English so we all understand? You know, and they're like, oh, we were just, you know, telling a joke to each other. I said, yeah, but, you know, maybe we'd all like to hear it. And the guy next to him said, yeah, because I'm French and I don't know what you said either. And it was really kind of like I felt left out. Oh. And they're like, oh, they didn't even realize it. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, stopping for a moment and saying, who's in the room with me? Mm-hmm. How can I be curious? You know, what is it? How do they see the situation? You know, and so for leaders, you know, and coaches of teaching, the coming in with, let me hear how you see the situation first. You know, so tell me, you know, your story. And then I can start hearing what's important to you and mm-hmm. what are the things, the key blocks that are holding you back. And if I repeat that back to you so you feel seen, heard, and valued, that opens up the conversation. That you'll be vulnerable with me, that we can move forward. And that's the key in any point, whether you've had a little bit of coach training for leaders, it's just a coaching approach. In the book, The Discomfort Zone, I'm not trying to make you a coach. I just want you to use a coaching approach. You know, just to be able to listen a little bit more deeply, to be patient. And again, not think you know everything or you know this person. Who's growing every day, to be seen, to be heard, to be valued, to know I'm significant. We have to give that to each other as leaders and as coaches, you know, before we move into the technical part of the conversation. You know, I always say they need you to be present more than they need you to be perfect.
You need to be present more than to be perfect.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing conversation, and I enjoyed every bit of this episode. And Marcia, I really thank you so much. And how is your experience being hosted on my platform? I know I have cooped up. I have asked you to come early, like gave the questions also. But how is your experience? And anything that you want me to improve on, I would definitely take.
Oh my God, these were really good. Just again, send me the questions earlier. You know, that's the thing too. One of the things in my new book, I talk about different people process information differently.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to understand the different styles of processing information. Mm-hmm. In companies, we do personality assessments and communication styles. You know, but we don't talk. Think about how is this person process information? How much time do they need? Mm-hmm. What is it they need to have in order to be able to respond? That's so important to teams, to leaders, not to think. Because leaders are often very quick, concise. Mm-hmm. You know, give me the answer. And not everyone is that way, especially at 5:30 in the morning. You know? So please, you know, think through how does this person normally process information? How can I support that? So, yeah.
Point taken. And a great learning for me. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you so much. As I said, I'm humbled to have you on the show. And I would look forward to many more conversations in future with a lot of
I hope so too. I hope so too. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marcia. All right. So friends, that was our episode with Marcia Reynolds, former president of International Coaching Federations, ICF. And before we jump into the fun trivia section, we have a quick request for you. In case if you haven't already subscribed to The Guiding Voice, please subscribe from wherever you have tuned in, because subscribing keeps you updated on new episodes. And also, if you have enjoyed the conversation and found it useful, please share with at least 3 of your friends or colleagues who would also like TGV, The Guiding Voice. So spread the knowledge and help others grow just like you. All right. Now, let's hop into the trivia segment. Having hosted the former president of International Coaching Federation, I thought I would present you a few facts related to ICF, which is International Coach Federation. Here comes the first fact. The founding date, ICF was founded in 1995 by Thomas Leonard, who is considered one of the pioneers of the coaching profession. And second one is about global reach. As you have heard it from Marcia, he said there are about 50,000 coaches representing ICF. And ICF is the global leading organization dedicated to advancing the coaching profession. And the members are in over 135 countries. And third one is about the credentialing. The ICF offers three levels of coaching credentials. Associate Certified Coach, which is ACC. And second is Professional Certified Coach, which stands for PCC. And third is MCC, which stands for Master Certified Coach. And these are recognized as the global standard in the coaching industry. So that's it for today's episode. And folks, thank you so much for tuning in and also for being part of our awesome community. So love to hear from you. So do not hesitate to share your ideas, feedback, topic recommendations or guest speaker suggestions either through social media or you can email us at theguidingvoiceforyou@gmail.com. And let's create content that resonates with you. I'm your host, Navin Samala, a lifelong learner. And my goal is to have impactful conversations that improve not only your life, but also your career. And until next time, take care, stay tuned, stay inspired, and remember the future holds great things because the best. So folks, that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in and also for being part of our awesome TGV community. We would love to hear from you. So do not hesitate to share your ideas, feedback, topic recommendations and guest speaker suggestions either through email or through social media. And let's create content that resonates with you. You can reach us at theguidingvoiceforyou@gmail.com. I'm your host, Navin Samala, a lifelong learner. And my goal is to have impactful conversations that improve not only your life, but also your career. So until next time, take care, stay inspired. And remember, the future holds great things because the best is yet to come. Goodbye for now. See you all in the next episode with another amazing guest. Take care.